No, just unsulting
himself. Golly.
Hey, it's the Friday Night Hangouts where we grab a brew, shoot the breeze, and interact with you live on the internet. We've got a nice panel tonight after a few weeks of me and Dan. And, of course, last week I had some throat issues, colds, and didn't get my fisherman's friends until afterwards. Hey, you know what? Do you know that Shoppers Drug Mart does not carry fisherman's friends anymore?
What? Boycott Shoppers.
I had to go to the Irvin to find me a 2-for-1 fisherman's friend. Yes, I was very concerned about this development.
But Irving's is now officially the fisherman's friend glory hole.
Yeah.
Got it.
Fisherman's friend plus their coffee gives it a little kick. Afterwards. All right, guys. As we get settled in, we'll let people who are watching us live, you know, you can comment via the YouTube live chat. Of course, you can use the Twitter FN Hangout hashtag. And, of course, if you're listening on the podcast, hopefully you can watch during when we're doing this live, but always appreciate you listening to the podcast. Let's do a round of intros here from Quebec City. We got Andy with us tonight. How's it going, Andy?
Good. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good, good. From Dartmouth, we got Dan with us tonight. How's it going, Dan?
Ah, diddly diddly, neighbor.
From Wallace, but he's local. Maybe that's why the internet's really good tonight. Keith Elliott, KeithElliottStone.com. How's it going, boy?
Hey, Jim.
And from the Valley, we got Lee. Lee Hoogly Booze and Beer Reviews, and also They Must Be Destroyed on Site podcast.
That's right.
And, of course, I'm in Halifax, Bedford, to be more precise, so we're just getting all settled in. Let's do a quick round of what we are drinking tonight. Lee, what are you drinking tonight, sir?
I am partaking in some Garrison Martello Stout right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I had last week. Yeah. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah. Lee, do you find that the move towards the 650ml bottles for some of their stuff is a good move or a bad move?
I think it's an excellent move because I sort of myth'd that a couple of the things from Propeller that they used to have in the big bottles, they stopped sort of stocking in at least my local NSLC. I don't know if some of the other places, like they used to have the big bottles of the London Porter. Mm-hmm. I used to buy that all the time, and now it's not there anymore. It's
just I haven't seen that in ages. The Porter. Yeah.
So I mean, to get to like the Martell Stout, of course, is just a seasonal or whatever generally, but to get their red now in the big bottles, I love to have like one or two of those sitting around. So.
Yeah, you're right. Excellent, Keith. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a bottle of North Brewing Belgian IPA that I picked up last spring at Open City. So it's 9 months old, cellared.
Oh, wow.
And it is very nice.
Excellent. Well, I did pick up their recent version of Milk Stout this week and had the bottle there. So the 2016 vintage is good. But, 9 months. Wouldn't mind trying some of that. Be pretty interesting. So, is there anything different from it? Like, is it more sweeter? Like, what happens after 9 months?
I don't get the citrus notes as much as I used to.
Okay.
Still a large hop profile. It's not bitter, but just it's different.
Okay. Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I'm starting the night off with the Gus 65 M Ale Belgian Blonde.
All right.
Coming from our buddies there at the North Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying it. It's pretty light fare, as you'd expect from a Belgian blonde, but so far pretty good.
All right, excellent.
And this is also to make up the fact that I haven't got the new selection of premium OFB, as was tweeted by Jim earlier. That's to come.
Yes. Andy, what are you drinking tonight?
Today I'm drinking a Charles Henry Amber Ale from the Brasserie des Deux Frères. Yes, out of Montreal. And if I read the pamphlet that came with it, it is a honey notes well balanced between malted grain and butterscotch with a citrusy hop finish. And it is a 31 IBU. So.
Oh, that's easy going.
Yes.
Excellent. I don't think I've ever had anything from Les Deux Frères, so that's cool. And, of course, I am drinking one of the two new releases from Garrison this week. I got me their black, dry hop black IPA, Dirty Old Town. This is 6.5. I don't know if they're talking about Dartmouth or Halifax. But there is a quote. I guess it's a song lyric.
Dartmouth.
Isn't it the Pogues?
Is it the Pogues? So the quote on the bottle here is, "I kiss my girl by the factory wall, dirty old town, dirty old town." So I don't know who sings that. I don't know.
That's the Pogues, yeah.
Is it the Pogues? Yeah. Anyway, I'm digging Garrison's focus on new labels for sure. I've been liking that. 6.5, this is 55 IBUs, Columbus and Cascade hops. And their malts is some crystal, their kiln amber, and chocolate malt. And it is a nice, if you like their black IPA, it's a little bit more hoppy than that, but it's a very interesting beer. It is something that I am nursing quite a while. It's not a fast drinking beer. It's taken a while to sip down. I also picked up the latest OFB, Old Fog Burner. Some change, I don't have the bottle here, but there's some changes to the bottle. New label, bigger bottle, same price.
What? I didn't catch that bigger bottle portion.
Yeah, it's in the 650 mil. I think they brought the ABV down to 10.5%, and at the brewery it was $8.99, which I believe was around the same price last year.
Yeah, I hope to make a pilgrimage down there this weekend so I can snatch myself a couple bottles.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to be like my only beer for the day, because OFB knocks the bejesus out of me.
I think there's a recording on the podcast where I actually downed two of them.
Yeah. Try to find that one. On the live chat, Chino, what's up, fellas? Just a run-of-the-mill Odell IPA that he's drinking. Long time no see. First Friday I've had off in 5 years. So, hey, Chino.
Wow.
Always good to have you into the Hangouts.
Wow, here, I'm glad the prison sentence is over.
Yeah.
And GC Storm 1, Roger from the Valley checks in. Hey, guys, I'm drinking a Rumble in the Alley from Upstreet Boxing Rock. That is their, that's a red ale, Imperial Red Ale, I think.
Oh, really?
If memory serves. Excellent, Roger. Good stuff, good selection. Looks like everybody's enjoying themselves tonight. Let's start off with some topics here. Most of these all these topics
have been... Oh, one was from you.
Oh, yeah, one from me, but most of it was from Dan. Dan was having a good day browsing the interwebs and finding some stories. So let's start with the first one here. And ironically, I heard the radio spot on this. Loyalty programs, Air Miles, the Shopper's Card, you know, all these points cards. It looks like they are adjusting the terms so that if you don't use your points right away, they'll drop the value or just remove them entirely. So I guess Air Miles, after 5 years, every quarter they'll remove the miles that you have not cashed out. First question, do you guys are part of some loyalty program cards, these points, and do you really use them a lot?
Yes. I've been hoarding Air Miles for quite some time. I've got close to 14,000 in the bank, and I've used them for actual flight bookings and that, and it's fantastic for that, but when I heard about this, I'm like, yikes. So the good news is, though, if you go to the Air Miles website and you put your PIN number, you can request sort of a statement of any expiring Air Miles points going on this year, and they'll send you an email saying what's expiring when over the next 12 months. So 14,000 miles is a lot of miles, and I don't want to lose that.
So every 5 years, you're going to see an influx of a lot of people taking vacation all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm nowhere as near as dedicated as Dan. I have Air Miles as well. But for me, it's more when I get to the grocery store, like, oh, you've earned $10 off today. Would you like to use your miles? I'm like, yes, I would. So I will never, ever see 14,000 miles.
Well, let's just say when you do a lot of house renovations and you keep on putting on your Amex card, you can rack it up pretty fast.
How about you, Keith? You use those cards when you come to the when you go to town to load up, or?
Yeah, we collect them, but we used a lot of them a few years ago. But it makes me wonder if they're going to have them expire every what is it, 3 months or 6 months? Quarterly after
five years.
How many of them are out there that people have hoarded that they don't really want to cash in on, you know?
Or they just don't.
Is this their way to make some of them go away, like, so they don't have to...
Or they won't know about it. Like how many senior citizens and such who are not as, you know, media savvy, they're not on the computers and stuff like that, and they've been saving up for 20 years. Oh, you know, I'm getting into my retirement years, saving up for a trip, and then all of a sudden they go to cash in their air miles, and, oh, I'm sorry, they were canceled 3 months ago, sir.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, this is terribly dirty, and there's got to be a better way to implement that. Like, they got to start just mailing out letters to people. They already got their addresses and everything. Start doing it snail mail.
Mm-hmm.
Like Shopper's Optimum card, if you don't use the card at least once in a 12-month period, the points will get wiped out entirely.
Hmm.
So Shoppers are freaking brutal.
Mm. Oh, that's terrible.
But again, if you're not using your card within the year, how many points are you actually accumulating, and do you even care? I mean, if you don't care enough to go in and use this card once during a year, so what? They wiped your miles out. Like,
you're probably not even going to notice.
I know a lot of people use their Shopper's cards. They use those, like, they really do only use it once every year, and it's like around Christmas time. They'll save up points for the entire year, and then they'll go and buy a bunch of stocking stuffers or whatever, you know, at the Shopper's Drug Mart.
Yeah. Well, I know the missus, she would use the air miles to get the gift certificates for a movie theater, or, you know, the $20-$25 Sobeys food card, so that she can give it to a charity or something like that. So, you know, but I guess we're in the use it within the year. We don't hoard or keep them up or anything like that. So we just, as you said, Lee, around Christmas time, you see what you got and you cash out, right? So,
yeah.
Chino on the live chat says they really should grandfather people for air miles.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Should do something like that. Yeah,
something at least.
Yeah.
I know Aeroplan went through this process a couple of years back, and there's a huge backlash against them. I forget what they did ultimately just to kind of deal with the media frenzy in that one, but I don't know. You don't hear too much about Aeroplan anymore about that.
Yeah, it's true. Of course, I had to redo my Aeroplan. I lost my card, so I had to create a new account. But then again, I haven't used Aeroplan in like 10 years, so... There goes points, right?
So you lost them twice over at this point.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to the next topic here. And this is another one from Dan. This is from BuzzFeed. And, you know, sometimes BuzzFeed gets some pretty good lists from these little interns from Toronto that write for BuzzFeed Canada. But I love the title of this one here. Let me just put it on the... on the screen share here for those who are watching us live. But basically, these are 58 things that annoy the ever-loving shit out of Canadians. Love it. So have you guys been going through the list? Have you been finding anything that you guys like? I like the starting off with number one. Autocorrect refuses to accept color and favorite with the OU. Spelling, yeah. The British spelling instead of the American spelling?
That always bugs me because I always have to do a double take and do a recheck. Did I really spell that wrong? Oh, wait, it's just the American bullshit. Yeah.
Do you guys have, Lee, you had a number you were saying? I cut you off there. But
I would say I do agree with the one for nine there. If it's Tim Hortons coffee, their lids are fucking terrible, man. Like, yeah. It's not just them ripping, it's just the fact that they leak. Like, they leak all the time. Like, I'll walk from work to Tim Hortons, and when I'm walking back, I'll have coffee dripping down my fucking hand. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, that one should have been on the list because I agree with that. How many times you grab that, you can't figure out where the freaking leak is coming from. It just drips down your hand. Like,
Number 36 for myself as well. Trying to open that little tab on the side of the KD box.
Oh my god!
just drives me bonkers. Like, they just do it for frustration purposes, like anger management boxes.
Well, you know, when I have to open it, the box looks exactly as illustrated once I'm done with it. Yeah. It's terrible. The number eight, getting in line at Tim Hortons behind three construction workers, and you know you won't be getting your order for 45 minutes.
That's true.
That is so true.
And the worst part is during wintertime, and I mean, you know, as much as I appreciate the snowplow guys plowing all the roads and sidewalks and stuff, when they all converge at Tim Hortons at the same time and they're ordering sandwiches and coffees and stuff, it's like, fuck, I might as well walk back to work and come back 20 minutes from now, and then maybe I'll get a coffee.
Exactly. You gotta take the breaks on the off times that mm-hmm. construction guys usually take it. Chino in the live chat says, "Sir, how about the way we say about in the States, or as they say, a boot?"
That a boot thing is such bullshit. There's only like a small segment of Canadians that actually pronounce it that way, and yet Americans seem to hear it that way from everybody from Canada for some stupid reason.
It makes you wonder if the author really goes to Tim Hortons a lot, because, you know, number 10, when you ask for assorted Timbits, you get no chocolate. Now, it only happened very rarely for me, but when it does happen, I am miffed off.
Yes.
You know, I don't
If that happens, you pissed off the server somehow.
Yeah.
You did something to the server. That's all I can say.
Yeah, or they give the exact amount. Is that you ask for the 10-pack, and you get exactly 10. You know you've done goofed.
Let's see.
Number 28 as well. But I was going to put number 28 as far as being in Nova Scotia. It says, when you put your boots in the heat vent, but they don't dry them in time for the next time you want to wear them. This is a caveat for that. It's hard to find natural gas, let alone heat vents, in a house in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
And that drives me bonkers.
Mm. Also with the boots, just the way, you know, pull your fucking socks off, you're taking your boots off.
Oh, yeah, 26.
That pisses me off all the time.
Keith, do you have an entry on this list?
I thought number 3 was pretty funny. When you watch a show that's supposed to take place in New York City or any city, and you clearly see a Scotiabank in the background. And that refers to last week when Mark Rubio had a campaign ad out in the United States.
Oh,
and
it was yes.
Vancouver. But
well, when you watch X-Files and you go, wait a second, that's Vancouver. What the fuck is going on there?
This is an interesting one here, because there have been a few maps here that show linguistics. People who say soda instead of pop.
Yeah, I've never said soda, unless you mean like proper soda water.
Yeah. It's pop. Or then again, depending where you are, it's Coke, right? You know, just, I think we talked about this before, but let's see here. This is one of my personal ones. When some refer to lunch as dinner, they have no idea which meal they're talking about. I have somebody in this house that does that, says dinner. And then you talk about supper. No, dinner. Dinner is supper. What are you talking about? What time do you want to eat?
You mean lunch is lunch, dinner, dinner, lunch? Or do you mean dinner, supper, supper, dinner?
Oh, my God.
We've all turned to hobbits. Number 34 as well, I have to admit, also gets me too. When that 3-day stretch of March, when it seems like spring has finally arrived, only for another snowstorm to hit.
That's been all winter, really, hasn't it?
That was this week specifically, right? So
sucker punch coming.
I will say 58 is basically low hanging fruit at this point. It's just like, okay, yeah, Justin Bieber, we get it. Everyone hates the little bastard.
Now, I was going to throw in and Celine Dion, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Now somebody added a number 59 here in the comments. 59, which is when Canada Post leaves a card in your mailbox, and you have to go to Shoppers to pick it up. A package that clearly would fit in the mailbox.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I don't know if there's number 60. Is there a number 60? There's no number 60, but, you know, we could try to make one. Make a number 60. I think we can talk about locally, because we haven't talked about anything local. We can talk about Matt Whitman. That annoys the ever-loving shit out of some people. Local councilor, deputy mayor.
Okay, well, who is this? Because I don't even know who that is.
Well, he's the deputy mayor.
Thank you, stars. You don't know who he is.
Oh, if you're on Twitter, he's Mr. Social Media. He's the deputy mayor now, first term councillor for Halifax. Got into a little bit of trouble with the last snowstorm. I guess somebody was using their ATV with a snowplow, and RCMP gave that guy a ticket, and then the councillor went on Twitter, called the RCMP on a power trip, get a life. Two complaints to council came, and they spent almost 4 hours in camera on this week's council meeting to discipline him. And he ended up giving an apology at the end.
But didn't the RCMP officer actually live on that street? Wasn't that part of the story, too?
He's the one that wrote the complaint letter, come to find out.
Well, then there was two complaint letters. There are retired RCMP and then another RCMP, and then it was just very confusing, right? But basically, the point is that why are we spending so much time on this?
On this
tweet, and the Coast did a nice little thing. They kind of cherry-picked some of his other tweets since January.
Mm. Yeah, he's all over the place. There's something not right there. I mean,
yeah. Well, I knew Matt a few years ago when he was running out of the local run club here in Bedford. So he was running with a few other people there. So for some reason he keeps calling me Brian, but I've known him for like 3 years, right? So I don't know. He's a little bit all over the place, right? As Keith says, a little high energy.
Sounds like a spaz. But I mean, public officials and stuff should not be on Twitter in the first place. And if they are on Twitter, they should have handlers who actually write their Twitter for them instead of them doing it themselves.
Yeah. They've gotten in just as much trouble than that as doing it themselves.
Yeah. You can't do it yourself. I mean, it just gets you in more trouble than it's worth. I mean, especially these days, depending, even if you said something that wasn't stupid and offensive, you're going to find all legions of Twitter groups who are just waiting for something to jump on, and then they will ruin you for the next few months, just drag you through the mud. So use Twitter to promote things. Don't use Twitter to give out ideas and opinions that you hold, because in 140 characters, it's going to be misconstrued by somebody, and they're going to run with it and ruin you on purpose. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And again, you have to say, this is a masterful like misdirection by the council. Let's spend 4 hours talking about social media, blah, 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 and we'll get direction or the attention away from the firefighters, snow clearing, all these other issues that people really want to talk about. Let's talk about social media. Yes!
Doesn't that seem to be Halifax City Council, though? They tend to get caught up on the inconsequential bullshit and the things that matter just tend to get swept to the side. It seems to happen at least once every month or two. It's always something that's not
backyard chickens.
Last month was Donair's, the official food of Halifax. They spent how many times on that?
Why was a nickel spent on that? We get it. We know.
But I mean, this is more of a universal problem. Like, I mean, we focus upon what we know, but I'm pretty sure that if you go to any sort of major center, you're going to see the exact same tactic used time and time again. So I'm sure it's not just us.
No, it's that TMZ mentality. It's just, you know, confuse the masses, you know, give them their little bread and circuses or whatever. And
shock and awe.
Yeah, and keep them away from the real issues.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the real issue, which is what we are drinking tonight. Folks, if you're watching live, FN Hangout on Twitter, or throw in a comment on the live chat if you're watching live on the YouTube. Let's start with our friend Andy over in Quebec City. What are you drinking tonight, sir?
Well, I'm still working on my Charles Henry Amber Ale from the Brasserie des Deux Frères. So, sorry, I haven't switched to my other one yet. I was hoping to, but it's just nice sipping.
All right, excellent. What's the ABV on your bottle?
The IBU was 31.
Okay,
31. And it's 6.2%. Yeah.
Oh, okay, 6.2. Nice. Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I'm wrapping up the Belgian Blonde, which, by the way, the ABV was 6.5, IBU 25 for that one. And I'm just about to switch over to the Winter Warmer from Garrison.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a vintage 2015.
Mm-hmm. But they're all in six packs now, aren't they?
No, there's a few of these in the 650 mils.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to Harvest Wines, and I could still get these. They had a whole ton of these still singles.
Yeah, they still have them at the brewery. Yeah. So
7% for those who are interested.
This year wasn't bad. I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it, the cloves and the spices this year.
I considered picking up the 6-pack this year, but I was just kind of worried that it was going to be like watered down or something like that, because now they're 6-packs. But
yeah. No. I think if you were to find it, you might be pleasantly surprised.
All right. I'm actually just going to do a shout-out. Harvest Wines has actually been pretty good for me as far as getting a decent turnover of selection. Okay. So I've been enjoying their selection quite a bit.
All right, excellent. Keith, what are you drinking tonight, buddy?
North Brewing's dry-hopped Belgian IPA. 6.6. Nice. 9-month-old bottle.
Is that another 9-month-old? Good.
No, it's the same one.
The same one?
All right. I was going to say, you have like a patience of a saint to allow those bottles to
see my cellar.
Yeah. Keith has never allowed me to go in the cellar. He's afraid that I might just go loco and, you know, start hauling out bottles under my arms when I leave.
Double fisting on the way out.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, this is a year old. Got to drink it, man.
It's going to go bad.
Lee, what are you drinking tonight?
I have switched up to St. Ambrose's Oatmeal Stout in the can.
Oh, it's yes. A can now.
Yes, we've had that for a little while, Keith. Last year it was out too, so...
It was in some bottles last year, though, wasn't it?
Well, they had the 6-packs, but...
We didn't even have the 6-packs for quite a long time.
No.
Not us, anyway. I don't know about
it. Yeah, like you said earlier, it depends on the NSLCs. Let's see. I am drinking one of the Garrison's new one, Dirty Old Town, which is a 6.5% dry hop black IPA. 55 IBUs, a Columbus Cascade with crystal Clin Amber and chocolate malt. It's a nice balance. It's pretty good. If you like their Garrison Black IPA, you'll like this one. A little bit more hoppier at the end, so it's pretty good. On the chat, we got Mustang 774, Mike from Newfoundland, saying here he's drinking a Farmhand Saison from Driftwood Brewery from Victoria, BC. It is a very nice 5.5% ABV tart malt with spicy and fruit flavor. He still can't join the hangout. I don't know what's going on, Mike.
I had that problem a few weeks ago.
Yes. We might have to use a different browser. If you're using Chrome, or update your Chrome.
Google
has been messing around with the vibe. And Lori, who we love to get back into the hangout, but she's busy drinking beer. She's been at the unfiltered Schoolhouse Rock, like a bar, whatever it's called.
Ask her how cool and edgy they are. Are they swearing all the time over there or whatever, you know?
How many lumber sexuals were there tonight? But she was drinking some unfiltered DOA Flat Black Jesus and Really Thalk Up. And I've had the Really Thalk Up, and that's a really nice one.
Yeah, I have that too. It's
good. Yeah, Charm School it's called. So they do unfiltered, they do Charm School. I'm sure there's a joke here somewhere. Hang on. No, never mind. Okay.
By the way, Lori, we missed your 7-minute rant. It's like having her own little Rick Mercer.
Well, if you go on Twitter, there's been quite a rant going on between her and Melissa and a whole bunch of the hipsters over at the Charm School. On Twitter. There's some stuff. You know, I got multi-windows going on. I'm like, yes, finally a big enough monitor so I can see all this
stuff. By the way, we need either Lori or Krista to kind of scout out the axe-throwing shop. Mm. Let us know how that's going.
All right, boys, let's talk. I swore more than anyone. Finally got kicked. You know, the day that Lori gets kicked out of Unfiltered because of swearing, that'll be an interesting day indeed. However, boys, you know this is on my list. Mattel is kicking up its game. Thingmaker. Now, where's the... Dan, can you find the image of the original Thingmaker playset?
I'll try and see if I can find it, yeah.
Yeah, I can find it and then bring it up on screen share so we can show people there for a reminder. There's a certain age thing maker means something, but Mattel, for $2.99 US, you can get your very own 3D printer. And
so you can make dollar store stuff on it for $300.
Wow. Yes, 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 yes.
All the toy soldiers you can spit out.
Yes. Well, Katie, this is awesome. I cannot wait. Yeah. I cannot wait for this. Now, there's a couple cool things about this machine. Basically, the I think you use an iPad app to make the models or whatever, but the how you make your 3D models, and to use in the 3D printer, it is the compatible format if you want to spend $500 on a real 3D printer. You can bring them in. So it's a really cool way to, I think it's a really cool way to get kids to get to the next level with making their own toys. Dan found the original thing maker, which, remember that you put gels and molds and you made your own little bugs creepy crawlies and all that stuff.
This is so cool. It really is. Like, I wish I had this as a kid. Like, all the G.I. Joes I had who broke their thumbs, I could just make new arms for them and put them on. Like,
I'm sorry, guys. I'm for that price point, like, to get a 3D printer nowadays is insane. Like, it's dropped quite considerably for pricing, but it's still, the cost of entry is still pretty high. For $300, that gets you into the door with a pretty good support system. That's pretty awesome.
And they're talking about the filaments, the spools of plastic. I think in the article they said it is a compatible one. It's compatible with another type of 3D printer. So like I said, you know, this could be a great starter 3D printer for kids or adults.
This is going to change toy companies, man, because it's going to, first off, it's going to basically eliminate the need for toy companies to make toys themselves. They can put in toy stores now is a card. You buy a card or a disc or whatever with the schematics on it. You put it in your thing maker, you make it yourself, right?
You're on it, Lee, you're on it. Continue.
And I was just going to say, I mean, this is also going to be kind of interesting to see where sort of, you know how like all the old Star Wars toys are like worth like hundreds if not thousands of dollars. Imagine how much the prices are going to go up now on those and like auctions and stuff like that, because it's going to be a thing of the past, I think.
Well, and also, and then you know, to build on that, all these high-end figurines that we see, the 12-inch, 14-inch figurines, which are like super superb detail that you want to pay money for. But then again, like you said, Lee, it's like, yeah, you just go to Toys R Us, you take your phone, you scan a code, and you get the 3D model for, I don't know, a new set of Monopoly houses and hotels, for example, for your boards. You go to your 3D printer, and it will print them out for you overnight or some nonsense like that.
Well, even bigger than that, think about just repair work around the house. How many times have a little plastic clip broken on a fridge or something? Normally you have to dish out an insane amount of money to get this esoteric part, where all you need is a 3D model, spit it out, boom, fridge fixed.
Mm-hmm. And endless supply of Lego blocks. You never have to buy a new thing of Lego again.
Or that piece that can't fit, doesn't exist, you make it exist right there. Yeah.
there's a pretty long discussion about this on The Current earlier this week about 3D printing.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, the biggest two things that are produced on it are toys and plastic components for, you know, things like your dishwasher, your washing machine or whatever. And they said they can see it going, well, as you can see it now, a lot of libraries now have 3D printers. You can go in and print things off on them. That's the new thing. So they said now they can see pretty well every community being a hub. So, you know, if you need your part, instead of sending to China for it, you know, you just go down to the library and you make it if you don't have a printer in your home. And that's going to change the way things are done, too, to a certain extent.
Well, you can go down to the Halifax Public Library tomorrow, and in one of the rooms is a 3D printer that they have set up. And you can either print something or see what's going on. So we visited a number of months ago with the little one. We're just walking around, and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, that's right. They have a 3D printing thing going in. They were printing gear pieces for something, like little plastic pieces, you know, gears.
Well, don't they have one on the International Space Station so they can make parts if they need them? They can even make a wrench or a special wrench.
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah, so. I know. It's crazy how fast, and really, it's only been the last 2 years that 3D mm-hmm. printers really has gone in, you know, has been like kind of a mainstream that we know. When we say 3D printers, we know what we're talking about.
Well, that just has to hit that, you know, certain plateau with the majority of the population and then the price point too, yeah. So.
I tell you, you know, for $300 or $350 Canadian with the exchange rate, you know, these compatible spools for different colors of plastics or whatever, and there's probably, I believe there's a few websites with all these model exchanges. So if you want to make your own iPhone case or, as you said, fixing a clip, whatever, I mean, and then you just print it off. It's
The printer will pay for itself. Two repair jobs in the house, and the printer will pay for itself.
Mm-hmm. I can see like the old school like model geeks and stuff like just loving this too. Like, you know, you no longer have to buy like a boxed model kit with all the pieces in it, and some of them might be broken, you know, or whatever. Now you can just make your own. You can just buy the schematics or whatever from the company or make your own. Like some real enthusiasts, you know, they might like World War II models or something like that. I can make an authentic Panzer tank now that I want, you know.
Like I can see lots of like things that people don't really want to go to the store to buy or don't want to be seen buying will be manning these too. Like, you know, I don't know.
Oh, sex shop, bombs, yeah, I was about to
you
say.
Know, things like that. I mean, not to be, but I can just see it happening. Right? It's like,
I'm just going to throw out there, it has to be a hard plastic. So
yeah, but, you know, customizable, you know, a lot more customizable, a lot more flexible, if you get my meaning, yeah.
And the thing is, there are apps already for iPhones and such, where you can use it as a 3D scanner, where the algorithms, according to the amount of pictures you can take, you can actually take a 3D scan of an object using your phone. So that, in conjunction with a 3D printer, I mean, phenomenal.
Well, I take it we're all going to be buying one of these things when they actually make it out in stores.
What if the missus agrees?
Yeah, and the missus, it's for the child. It's for her learning. Oh, come on. She already got the iPad.
I wonder if you could get, like, if they get to the point where you have one that's big enough, with the trend now with people buying vinyl records and stuff, make your own vinyl record. They give you the schematic, it prints the record for you, and there you go. You can have infinite copies of your favorite album on vinyl, so you don't have to worry about, oh, this one's used up, a little scratched, just make a new one.
Lee, patent that shit right now.
Get on the Canadian in the intellectual property website, the CIPO. And
hipsters won't accept that.
I guess. Hey, on the live chat, Kevin was saying here about Unfiltered, the 12 years from Zion, I think it is. The best beer I have ever had, Flat Black, is also quite good. I did have the 12 years. I believe I have the growler. I think one of my first visits to get a growler was the 12 years. It is very good. Have not had the Flat Black. Chino mentions about the 3D printer, the Things Maker. Great way for kids to express themselves. Man, I'll take one too. Yeah, I think a lot of dads or a lot of adults will be buying this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad they can't use, obviously they got the plastic filaments to make the items. Too bad they can't take the metal one so you can actually make rings and some other stuff there. So
get back to making die-cast metal transformers that you can throw at your friends and hurt them with.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the next topic here. And, we've been doing a few videos lately. So for those watching live here, we're going to quickly show a quick video about a brewery in Germany who basically have opened up a hot tub.
No. No.
Fecal coliform, that's all I have to say.
This is a terrible, terrible idea. This is dumb.
Fecal coliform. Blech.
So they took part of the brewery, converted it into a beer pool. So they just put wort and what people can just dunk in the wort.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, people, if they can sell it, more power to them. That's what I say. Just
yeah, I guess. Pronounce,
but not me.
I think they're doing something similar. We covered on Beer Dweebs United earlier this week in Germany, where they've got this beer fountain, where, you know, it's an actual fountain with beer coming out of it and recycling through the system and coming out again. And they're pouring beer off of this fountain, apparently, to sell to tourists and stuff like that. That is the dumbest idea. Let's expose the beer to oxygen and put it through the system and let it come out again. Like, and people are going to piss and spit in that fountain. You know they're going to.
All I'm going to say is that Germans are infamous for the sickest, most depraved pornography, and you're going to give them a pool of beer. That's all I have to say about that.
I'm not a fussy person, but that is gross. That is
gross. And you know, there's gonna be the one or two degenerate who are gonna drink out of it.
Hans, take a sip of my beer. It is awesome.
Oh no. No. Yeah, four people all sitting in this stewing, and you all know what happens when you're drinking a couple beer. And stuff, and I'm not getting out of the pool. Let's have a little sip of this. Yeah.
Hans, I am drinking you right now, Hans.
Yeah. Shut up, my belly button.
You taste bitter, Hans.
Someone's gonna bring sausage into the pool. You know it's gonna happen.
What was that? What was that movie? Fast Times at Richmond High. The
beer and schnitzel.
The chocolate bar in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
That was Caddyshack.
Yeah, it was Caddyshack.
It Caddyshack? Yes.
Yeah, because he took a bite out of it when he cleaned the pool.
Oh, good times. All right, let's move on to the next one here, which is one that I found. Which is kind of neat. I guess the Manitoba government will be going on the Red River and cutting out the ice that has been accumulating so that, in a way, they hope will reduce some of the ice jams the spring to that will create the flooding that we see once in a while in Alberta. Not in Alberta, in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Red River, very flat. It reminds me of a podcast I listened to not too long ago about how there was a big industry of cutting up ice in lakes and rivers to send to India.
I was listening to that one too. Was that 99 Invisible?
Was it? I can't remember. But New England, and of course up to New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, had a very big business of, during the winter, cutting up, just like the beginning of Frozen, cutting up big cubes of ice and wrapping them in sawdust and just putting them on a container ship, sending them to India to have cold drinks for the troops.
Do you know they still do that in northern Maine, the Amish?
Not really?
Too far from where we go. There's pictures of it. There's a group on Facebook, I forget the name of it, about, and it's all pictures from northern Maine. And yeah, they still take the ice out in late winter and put it in sawdust and straw.
Well, Keith, if we ever make it up again this year, we should go visit that Amish community because there is a world-renowned chef who said, screw it, I am leaving five-star restaurants that I cook. I'm going to go to Maine, and I'm just going to cure meat and make sausages in an Amish community. Just dispose all of my wealth and me, my wife, and my two kids, we're just going to do it simple.
Yeah, actually, it is invisible. It's episode 198, labeled The Ice King.
You have to listen to that one.
I guess we're all listening right now.
I was just going to interject.
No, I was just trying to find the chef here.
I was just going to interject. I don't know if I trust that chef if he decided to just pack up and go to an Amish community and start cooking there. I don't know what's going to be in that meat. I don't know.
So, out of curiosity, when they're deciding to cut the ice, are they going to try and do something artisanal with it and repurpose the ice for cocktails?
Are they cutting it or are they blasting it?
It looks like they're just cutting it. from the sounds of it here. I don't know. I think they're just taking the big a digger, a backhoe, whatever.
Well, sometimes it's just take an excavator and
just haul it out there. So I'm not too sure what they're doing.
So there's going to be a whole bunch of drunk snowmobilers ramming into them.
Well, they said stay off the ice.
No shit!
Yeah.
You still have to tell people, man, because look what happened last weekend.
Yes.
And reading that, I was actually wondering because, you know, New Brunswick, always, every couple of years, you always hear about the big ice jams that form in, like, Perth Andover and stuff and really causing damage. Is this maybe a tactic New Brunswickers can use up north on the St. John River just to kind of maybe break up some of that ice or cause it so we don't have those big ice jams in Perth Andover every couple of years?
You know, I was just thinking the same thing, if they could do that. You know, that I think, hey, if it does help, I mean, you know, because the ice jams, you've seen it. It's like St. John River or, you know, what we see on the news on the Red River. It is thick. Like, you know, anything to get that out, to reduce the log jam or the ice jam, I think it'd be awesome. Now, for us, I think the fact that we had a nice big thaw this week, I think that's going to help the ice
jam. Not much ice anyway, really.
Holy moly. Now, did you say, Keith, that, yeah, like the snowmobilers that go on the ice, they did find that a snowmobiler tonight.
Well, I mean, there's not enough ice anywhere for that foolishness, really.
No.
It just hasn't been the winter for making ice.
Well, tonight, you know, it's funny because so just to back up a bit, last weekend a group of three snowmobiles were going over the a lake or ice. They all fell into the ice. They recovered the two drivers of the snowmobiles. There was one that was still underwater. They just found the third one tonight. That was a week, and plus we had the big thaw. It's terrible. But even tonight, I was walking the dog, and we're going by the lake that we usually walk by, and one, you could see that it is not thick at all, and two, the lake was making the sounds, the gloop, gloop, gloop.
And ice doesn't get made after the middle of February.
Sorry, can you say that again? I missed that.
Oh, yeah, it was a gloop, gloop, gloop. You know, with the ice, you know, freezing or the water underneath, it was making some interesting sounds there, but yeah, you don't hear that in February.
Yeah, this isn't. It's not quite North Dakota this year, so you know.
I just wanted to show you the picture of the Amish chef that created a charcuterie in Maine. So it's just cured meats and cheeses and all this stuff. So he has a nice little shack there. In Unity,
that looks pretty damn fancy for someone in an Amish community, I gotta say.
With a Subaru.
Yeah.
With a Subaru. Well, I mean, remember when we were down there, we had to take a detour through Amish country, and it said, watch out for horse and buggies, and we saw all these Amish people and Keith, going around, driving around?
Yeah, it was, Keith, that's exactly where this dude is. We weren't far from his location, so we should...
We'll just bring some crackers and beer, and yeah.
Yeah. Matthew Shick, he was the sous chef at Charlie Trottier's restaurant in Chicago, where he made a $600 tasting menus for the rich and famous. 45 years old, he said, F it, I'm done, I'm going to Maine.
Well, it sounds like a guy who had the money to say, F it, and do whatever the hell he wants, you know. It's not some big privilege for him.
Yeah. Well, $600 for a plate. I mean, come on. Of course, this guy's got some money somewhere.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for.
That's a lot for a tasting plate. Agreed. I'm gonna paste the URL in the live chat for those who are watching live. They can click on it and read the story here. Oh boy. All right. Let's do a quick round of plus ones because we're just wrapping up the show here. So we got a number of people who are watching us. Hey, use the FN Hangout hashtag on Twitter if you want me to read your tweet, but you can use the live chat. All right, round of plus ones, which is something that you've read, listened, bought, something you want to recommend people to check out. I got one thing, which is the Amazon Echo.
Oh, you got it?
No, I didn't get it.
Oh, okay.
tease.
I didn't get the $200 yet for it, but or permission to spend the $200 for it. But basically, this is the Amazon's Internet of Things Bluetooth speaker. Listen to what you say, and then answers back, that kind of stuff. They've been slowly adding features. They've been adding support for Spotify. They've been adding support that you can order pizza, Domino's pizza, I think it is.
Nest. You have support for Nest.
Nest, your smart home, if you have those fancy light bulbs and thermostats. It seems to be pretty cool. It's the more stuff that they're adding on to it, the more it interests me a bit, quite a bit. So the Amazon Echo, I think it's $200 or two, whatever it is for Canada. So anyway, read up, check it out, and you know.
Have they officially released it for Canadian consumption? Like, I know the only place you can get it is on Amazon.com, not .ca. Is there a way to order it as a Canadian?
I thought I saw it on .ca. On the Echo.
You have to admit, I was looking at that when I had direct access to the .com for a while there, but I wasn't able to get it. Yeah. If there's a way to get it on the Canadian side, that would be phenomenal.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, Amazon Echo. That's what I like about it. All right, Lee, plus one for you.
Okay, and another recurring episode of Lee Watches Something Awesome that everyone else saw like 2 years ago. I watched I sort of binge-watched the first season of Fargo, the TV series, this week. I was quite impressed. I got to say, Billy Bob Thornton is probably one of the best representations of, like, a human incarnation of Satan without them actually stating explicitly that he's Satan walking on Earth kind of thing. I was really impressed. I thought it was great. I thought it echoed the movie really well without hammering you over the head with it, and I was just enthralled by the entire season. So I definitely want to see the next one.
All right, excellent.
Is Fargo still on, or did it? Is it just like a 2 season and then it got canceled? Sort of like a Hannibal.
I thought they just finished their second season.
Yeah, they just finished their second season, I guess. So, and the third season's coming apparently. So.
Okay, so they did renew then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's kind of neat they do it. I don't think they keep the same characters every season. So, yeah. Well, I know they didn't between the first and second, so I'm assuming the third will be a complete new cast as well. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Keith, plus one for you.
Well, you just referred to it, and I was talking about it today on Twitter with some people about Spotify. And Spotify Premium, I'm not a big fan. I'm paying, you know, a monthly fee for everything, but Spotify Premium is worth the $10 a month as far as I'm concerned. Just for the fact that you can make your playlists and albums available offline, you just toggle it offline and it downloads it to your device. So when you're in Wi-Fi range, you know, just you download it and you can listen to it when you're not around Wi-Fi, and it's not going to, you know, cost you any of your data. So I like it. I mean, you know, it's unlimited what you can listen to. So for $10 a month, it's a pretty sweet deal.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, I haven't bit the bullet for that. I'm still on the freemium Spotify. Dan, what's your plus one?
Before I do the plus one, I'm just going to throw one other thing I just kind of noticed on the web there, thanks to Mashable. So just want to share it. So apparently this gentleman in Britain, I think in the last 3 years, here's a good picture of it. You create this 18-foot tall penis tree. And he literally said he did it solely for the shits and giggles.
It took him 3 years to do that, and another 2 years you're going to see balls.
So, yeah. But anyway, going back to my plus one, and I'm going to try and keep this on the YouTube side of things. As you know, there's a lot of alumni that's come out of the Daily Show. You've got your John Oliver, your Larry Wilmer. They've come up with a pretty good shows with good content. And the next alumni to come out of there would be Samantha Bee, and she just launched Full Frontal. It's a couple weeks into it now, and just like John Oliver, She is posting a lot of her content online, and I wasn't a big fan of Samantha Bee's content out of Daily Show, but I've been really enjoying it on her solo career so far. So check out Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. Just like all the other ones, political discussions, especially during the election year, really good to watch.
All right, excellent. Andy, what do you got for a plus one?
I've got the it's www.offqc. It's a website that if you're trying like me to immerse yourself in French and get a lot better at speaking it, it breaks down like Quebec specific like phrases or expressions and gets you to say them it like phonetically, and it teaches you out and some other like interesting facts about the sentence or how certain terms arise and stuff. So it's a good website to go to if you're kind of trying to brush up on your French and get a little bit more Québécois. So
is it this one right here?
It's exactly that one, yes.
All right, awesome. Excellent. Yes. If something is malin, it causes confusion. Yes. If someone in a state of confusion is said to be mêlé. Yes, malin, mêlé. Yes. Actually, yeah, this is, yes.
Does it have a Pepsi and Pop-Tart?
I'm not sure what that refers to, but...
Chevron Pepsi and Pop-Tart?
No, you know what? I'm just quickly scanning through some of the headers here, and you know what? This is very useful for the people who want to just know some of the... And a lot of the stuff here... Now, being from northern New Brunswick, the French that I grew up with is more of a Quebec City French, so... A lot of the stuff that I'm seeing here in the words is like, yep. So check that out, OFFQC.com.
What does the OFF stand for?
Offenbach? No, I don't know.
Officiel Québec.
Officiel Québec. Okay. Nice little blog there. Cool. Excellent. All right. Well, with that, I think that is it for another week. We're trying to keep these to an hour. Let's see here. Chino says Bilbo was in Fargo. Bilbo.
Oh, yes. Martin Freeman.
Yeah. Martin Freeman, yeah.
All right. And Mustang says, great show, gang. And that's about it for that. All right, kids, we're going to do this again next week. Thank you for the panel for joining me tonight. Thank you, everybody, who have been commenting on the live chat. Too bad I can't save this chat because there's some really good comments in here. Oh, hopefully YouTube can figure it out.
They had it figured out before they split Google away from it again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Perhaps Skype might have that figured out.
Yeah.
No, Skype has nothing figured out. It's a piece of garbage.
All right, guys. Good meeting tonight. Good meeting.
Good meeting.
We'll talk to you guys next time.
Okay. Bonsoir.